Walker is next.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guests today are Minister Zerniel Bogan from the Salem Baptist Church and Allison Fromm-Entrekin from the Department of Music at the University of Illinois, and both are members of a group called the Whirlwind Project. What is that, Allison?
Whirlwind Project is an organization that is intended to bring people together around sacred stories and spiritual issues through the arts and dialogues.
And Zerniel, why would a minister in a Baptist church be interested in this kind of an interfaith group, a group that includes Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and even Presbyterians?
Well, because it is an interfaith unit, it gives the community a chance to see the different aspects of all of our beliefs and faiths.
And this group has been in existence for 3 years, and in the interest of total disclosure, I should admit that I'm also on the planning group for the Whirlwind Project. It started 2 years ago, and it had a different name. Allison, what was it called then and why?
It was Exodus Project, and it was launched by Bach, the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana, to bring people together around the performance of Handel's Israel in Egypt, which is a story from the Hebrew Bible. And we got together first 2001, September 9th, 2001, to begin talking about involving the communities, different communities in this. And 2 days later was September 11th. And in the aftermath of that, there just seemed to be that much more need and interest for people to come together. And music and the arts really helped bring people together.
And that first year, when the focus was on Handel's marvelous music, there was a huge turnout to most of the programs. There were choral programs, musical programs, instrumental programs, readings, poetry, drama, all those things. And the community really responded. Do you think it was largely because of perhaps 9/11?
I think that had an impact. I think it had an impact on bringing our committee together. And with Minister Bogan and you and Imam Al-Fayyad and clergy from various traditions and artists, Kevin Kelly from the Prairie Ensemble, we really have a diverse committee. And I think that was part of the interest for people, perhaps the turnout as well.
And Zerniel, when the Exodus Project and now the Whirlwind Project started dealing with these biblical stories, like the escape of the Israelites from captivity in Egypt, why do you think people from your religious tradition, as a Baptist, responded to that story and this expression, these many expressions?
Well, I feel that it has an enhancement of what we believe as our overall spirit is concerned in growth and our overall intake of what we do in our communities. It allows everyone to see that we have gone through something. We have gone through a certain trauma that is so traumatic. Even today, it still permeates our very existence. So we have to be able to express that in such a way that it is a communicative thought without being a dangerous thought. The Exodus and the Job readings that were given for the last 2 years brings that out. It shows the Job in each and every one of us. The Exodus shows the Exodus that we have to use within ourselves to get rid of those things and come back to what life is really about.
Now, as one of the associate ministers at Salem Baptist Church, you've probably heard your pastor, Dr. Shelby, Claude Shelby, preaching on these texts, haven't you?
Oh, many a day, yes.
And in hearing it in a different form, as interpreted by Muslims, for example. I mean, I at least was I hadn't even realized that the, some of the stories about Abraham in the Quran, I didn't know their flavor until I heard the Imam, you know, talk about that.
Yes, and I also felt that in the study of theology that we sometimes look at these things and we don't see the correlation of how close they are to one another and how close we really are in the studies of each other's particular faith. Mm-hmm. When we look at these units and we take these units and we just pick them apart, yeah, there are certain things that others don't use. There are certain aspects that are placed in it that others don't place in it. But the overall meaning, the overall principle is the same, and that goes for everyone.
One of the things that I found was striking last year was a correlation between Hebrew and Arabic, which, of course, we know is there. And people here in the chants, in the concert that was at Salem Baptist Church, for instance, in preparation for that concert, I went to the mosque and taught some of the young children a song that we were going to sing together and was explaining to them about the connection between shalom and salam. And the imam continued to tell them, well, just as our word for God, Allah, is similar to the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, and other words, you know, that were about we and us were also very similar, and I had never really thought too much about those connections.
Hmm.
And so the children from the mosque joined some children from Salem and from Sinai Temple and from some church choirs and helped lead a piece together that was about shalom and salam.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I've seen so many times and even now, it's all through the Exodus and through the Job Project, and now through our new project, which theme is meditation.
Which I have forgotten to mention until now. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. And we have to remember that theme goes on in music. And as it goes on in music, it is universal. All the children understand the flavor of it. All the adults understand the flavor, regardless of what language it is spoken or sung in. It is the flavor of the music, the flavor of the essence of what is being sung and what is being said that gets to us all.
How was the theme meditation chosen for this year's Whirlwind Project?
We considered in our committee a number of different themes, and the first 2 years we had chosen Exodus around the Handel piece of music. The second year we had chosen Job, which was also a dramatic story common to the three Abrahamic faiths. And this year we also have Elihu Smith, the leader of the Prairie Zen Center, on our committee. And we as a group felt that perhaps meditation would give us a wider audience, and we would shift from doing a drama to something slightly different in spirit.
But there will still be included musical events.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And why don't we let listeners know some of the things coming up for the Whirlwind Project this year. We're starting off with a panel, which will be February 24th in the Champaign Public Library at 7 p.m. at night. That'll be in the community room there in the public library on State and State Street between State and Randolph. February 24, Tuesday, and the Imam from the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, Mujahid Al-Fayyad, will be on the panel. And our guest today, Minister Zerniel Bogan, will be on the panel. Sister Agnes Cunningham will be representing the Roman Catholic tradition. Sensei Elihu Genmyo Smith will be representing the Zen Buddhist tradition. So that's coming up on the 24th. The first musical event will be at McKinley Presbyterian Church February 29th, a Sunday at 7 p.m., February 29th. Sounds of Meditation, Music and Motion. Allison, since you're involved with music and in planning these concerts, tell us about what that will be like.
It's going to be a series of meditations and for people to experience. It will include both Western art music, as it were, string quartet from the university, a harpist, an organ and trumpet piece. Also, some Eastern instrumental pieces. Yang Ying, who plays the arhu, which is a Chinese string instrument. And then there will be vocal meditations, Islamic chant, and Eastern Orthodox chant, and a Renaissance motet. And we also hope to have Tai Chi and dance, percussion, and shofar. So
wonderful. And what is
program.
Shofar?
Shofar is a horn that has been used in Jewish tradition for 3,000 or 4,000 years, and it's a call to attention. It's played every year on the high holy days. If anybody has heard Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur service, at the very end, as the gates are closing at the end of Yom Kippur, the shofar is sounded. And this will be played by Julian Dessen this time. He's 13, and he's a member of Sinai.
Hmm. Now, you're from the Jewish tradition yourself, but there are also people on the planning committee for the Whirlwind Project from the Jewish Federation, from
yes.
the Temple. Of course, within Judaism, there are several different traditions,
mm-hmm.
but the Whirlwind Project is attempting to show meditation as it is found in many forms, even from within one tradition, right?
That's right.
One religious tradition. Uh-huh. What about your situation, Zerniel? And I probably should invite listeners with questions, too. I shouldn't hog all this fun myself. If you'd like to call in anywhere this program is heard, please punch in 1-800-222-9455. You can call us from cell phones. You can call us if you're listening on the Internet. That's fine. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, there are several local numbers that are several local lines you can access by punching in one number, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL if you're calling from within the Champaign-Urbana calling area. Elsewhere, 1-800-222-9455. Zerniel, I was starting to ask you, what part does meditation play in your Protestant Christian Baptist tradition?
Well, that's a good question, and I would say not just Protestant, Christian, Baptist, but also as an African American.
Okay.
And in doing so, I look at the aspects of how the everyday prayer, the simple prayer chanted in song from the days of the slave times on even until now, has been used as a tool of meditation throughout labors and toils. From those times, even until now, we still continue to chant those little words, chant those little meditations that keeps us in focus of who we are and what we're supposed to be about.
Hmm. And when Pastor Shelby plans a worship service for Salem Baptist Church, for example, where you're one of the associate pastors, does he plan some times of silence? Are there special times for like prayer?
Yes. Okay. We always have a time of prayer at every okay. service. Oh. The altar call is the main time. Naturally, we always want to be in a prayer state throughout mm-hmm. the service as individuals, mm-hmm. but we have that particular time, which is the altar call, that we ask those to come before the altar and bring their petitions unto the Lord and bring those particular cares or worries that they want to express or lay before the altar that the prayer can be interceded into for them to the Lord, that the Lord will be able to hear those prayers and work upon them.
When you mentioned earlier the songs that came even from slave days that gave people not only peace but also impetus to,
yes.
to help change things, are you... I know you love music yourself.
Yes.
How does music fit in with meditation?
Well, music in itself is, to me, a direct link in meditation because of the tranquility that it brings. And in any time that you're meditating, you always want to bring on that tranquil state of mind, a relaxing state, a state that just takes you away from that sense of being frustrated and worried and, mm-hmm. and all those types of bindings that are upon you and just go into a state of just bliss.
And that's not necessarily a quiet state, is it? I mean,
not
you can be
time.
Taken away from your worries of your daily world also in a very spirited,
in a very
spiritual
way. Sure you can. Sure.
tradition.
Yes. Meditation in that form is exactly when, I'm pretty sure you might have heard, when the spirit takes you on, you're gone with the spirit. You're not really within yourself. The spirit is within you. And at that time, it's not you that is acting. It is the spirit within you that is acting. And as you go with that flow, you're in a meditative state.
Now, are there any boundaries to that? I mean, I think of people who have that kind of ecstatic experience and you describe it. And often people in one tradition say, well, in our tradition, it's a gift from God. But in that other tradition, that may not be a Holy Spirit. Where do you draw lines? I mean, what about people who do bad things when they're sort of in that ecstatic spirit?
Well, I'm glad you said that too, Steve, because here at the Whirlwind Project, it allows us an opportunity to see the different facets of other faiths that we can correlate with our own so that we can say, well, I can't long longer say that this person isn't in the spirit, nor can that person say that I am not in the spirit, because the spirit is within me. And as I feel the spirit, or as the spirit moves the other person, I have to respect that. I have to give that the utmost of the respect, because the way that person communicates with God is a personal communication. It's a personal meditation. No one person's meditation can be externalized so that another person feels their meditation. It is always internalized.
Is it always good?
I would hope so.
Well, we did have a conversation in one of our committee meetings about what about that ecstatic state that comes from drug and alcohol, and we decided not to have any programs related to drugs and alcohol.
Well, now we're talking again about something which is giving a synthetic form versus something that is given in a natural form. Mm-hmm. And in this state, we're talking about meditation given in a natural form, or should I say supernatural form.
Mm-hmm. Some folks who aren't religious at all would think that all religious people are sort of self-deluded when they talk about those kind of experiences. And they'd say, oh, it's just psychological. Oh, it's just it's something that can be, you can have without the surface of religion at all.
You know what, Steve, a little young man came to me one day, and he says, well, you know, I've been following the science and the teachers, and the teachers tell me that the earth started and everything started with the Big Bang. And that's how life is all about us. It's with the Big Bang. But I want to know something, Minister Bogan. Who lit the fuse? You know, there's always that sense and that state of mind in which we know that there's always, it's always have been one that is greater than ourselves, which we cannot explain. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's all about, being able to meditate upon that so that your realm does go into that sense of knowing what meditation really feels like throughout the whole body and spirit.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon, this live call-in program every Sunday at 5 on WILL. We're talking today with one of the associate ministers at Salem Baptist Church in Champaign, Reverend Zerniel Bogan, and with Allison from Entrican, both of whom are on the Whirlwind Project. Allison is from the Department of Music at the University of Illinois and is the chair or convener of the committee. And Zerniel and I serve, along with several others on this committee, that have made these plans for these programs that are in Champaign-Urbana this coming next couple months. We've talked about one of the concerts, which is February 29th. There'll be another concert. That first one's at McKinley Church, corner of 5th and John Street in Champaign. Another of the concerts will be at the church that Zerniel serves at Salem Baptist, and I'm not finding that on my program. Oh, here it is. That'll be April 26th at 7. That's a Monday night. So the first one's on a Sunday evening. The second one's on a Monday, April 26th. Now, this will be a similar program, but different music. Is that right?
And it will have a slightly different focus. There will be a bit more community participation from the audience, and possibly some breath and vocal meditation and some singing We hope that the audience will join in as they have the last couple of years at Salem. And the first year when we did the Songs of Exodus concert, I think one of the most powerful experiences for me was leading Hinei Matov with the entire audience and seeing everybody join in.
Tell us what
with
that
me.
Is, or sing a bit for us.
That's all right. Hinei Matov is a Hebrew folk song. And it is a psalm that is how good and pleasant it is to be sitting here together, united in brotherhood. Hmm. And one of the things that was very exciting was that there were a number of children from the mosque, and they had never seen Hebrew or certainly heard singing in Hebrew. Hmm. And they were looking at their music and very intent on joining in and singing with all of us. And then at the end of the concert, Todd Taylor and Barrington Coleman led us in Lift Every Voice. And there were 600 people in the audience, and it almost blew the roof off that building, I thought.
Yes.
So the concert in April will feature the musicians of Salem and some other vocal and instrumental, maybe some children from the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, an interfaith choir, some other instrumental possibilities.
Some of our listeners may not know what Lift Every Voice and Sing is.
That is supposed now as the National Black Anthem. And Lift Every Voice and Sing is one of the songs, or is the song that we use in recognition of the traumas and the trivial, should I say, that the African-American has gone through since slavery time.
And we might just mention that the reason a second concert has been added this year is because both the first two were just absolutely packed, standing room only. And so we've just had to find another way that even more people can experience this intense interfaith musical experience.
And there are also lots of different expressions of meditation, different types and shapes. And I'm excited that people are going to get to hear the arhu, because many of us don't very often get to hear that Chinese string instrument, and it's beautiful.
Tell us about the experiential workshops that are part of the Whirlwind Project this year.
There will be four workshops, and the design is to pair a quieter meditative experience with a more active one. We've talked about meditation as stillness and movement. So the first workshop will be Saturday, March 6th, and it will be at Wesley Foundation, and it will pair mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is a medical technique, with a labyrinth walk. And the second one on March 13th at the Living Yoga Center will pair yoga with a Zen sitting meditation. Then at the YMCA, Steve is hosting
University YMCA.
Yes, which is on
1001 South Wright Street, the corner of Wright and Chalmers in Champaign.
Okay.
Thank you. That will be Muslim meditative chant with the imam and prayer bead traditions, both Christian, Muslim, and other. And then the fourth workshop, March 27th, will be Catholic contemplative prayer with Tai Chi. And that one will be at the Central Illinois Mosque on Lincoln and Urbana.
And that will be Saturday, March 27th at 2 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So these are four Saturday experiences that are possible for people to come to, and these are all free, we should
say. That's right. All of the events are free.
All of the events are free. How is Whirlwind paid for?
Well, we have gotten very generous donations from our constituency, some sponsorship from Provena Covenant Hospital and various of the organizations that are community partners, which are arts and religious organizations, and from individuals, and from people who choose to make donations at events. But we want all the events to be free of charge, and anybody who would like to be able to come, whether or not they can make a donation.
So you pass a hat at some of the events, so people could make a could contribute if they wish.
We won't pass a hat, but there'll be a basket.
Okay.
It's not church.
I see.
We don't want it to feel like church, because we want it to be open to people whether or not they belong to an organized religious tradition.
Sure. We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Allison Entrekin and with Minister Zerniel Bogan, about the Whirlwind Project. We're eager to have listeners participate in the conversation with either questions or comments in Champaign-Urbana. You may call by punching in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Elsewhere, you may call us totally free, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of our station. Have either of you gotten into any trouble by participating in this interfaith group? Have you had people from your tradition say, wait a minute, you're Jewish, or wait a minute, you're Baptist. Why are you doing this thing with Buddhists and Muslims and Catholics?
Well, I wouldn't call it necessarily trouble. The question has been asked. Mm-hmm. But the answer to that is because you are my brother and she is my sister. In order for me to know what you are about, I must be able to be in a realm where you are. I must be able to coexist with you, knowing how you live and how you celebrate. When knowing how one celebrates, it tells an awful lot about a person or about a faith or religion, because the celebration in itself expresses so much about that particular faith, about that particular religion. The celebration is what is the meaningful part of any religion, and it's that spirit which enlightens us all, and this is what it's all about.
Well, let me be nasty just for a minute, Zerniel, since we haven't had any listeners call in with nasty questions. Let me ask one.
Okay.
Baptists are evangelical. I mean, you believe in trying to change people from their religious faith to be Christians, don't you? I mean, is this just a subtle way to get to try to evangelize people who are Jews or Muslims or something?
Well, let me go over that statement again. We don't try to change anyone. We try to enlighten them. And by the enlightenment of that word of God, God will change them. But first, we do try to enlighten them. We try to show them the error of their ways as opposed to what the Bible is saying, or in agreement to what the Bible is saying. And this is what it's about. We don't try to change anyone.
Well, let me be nasty to Allison here, representing, at this moment at least, the Jewish tradition. Your tradition has just the opposite approach. You are sort of... You don't want anybody else to become Jewish, right? I mean,
no.
You don't evangelize at all.
There are Jews who convert to Judaism. There are people
but
who
choose.
But don't
you make it hard?
I think that yes, in the Jewish tradition, there is a lot of work that is involved in conversion. A lot of study and other things that people are required to do, depending on what kind of a conversion, and perspectives, of course, are different on inviting new people in. I wouldn't say that there's evangelism, though. No.
Right. Okay. So does it make you nervous to be around groups, particularly Christian groups, or maybe even Buddhist groups that are evangelical, that are trying to say, you really should become a Zen Buddhist. Your life would be better if you did.
I have had those kinds of things happen to me. I have a neighbor whose brother is often visiting and wants me to have the spirit of Jesus. But I guess I am able to take that with their good wishes for me, and I'm confident in what I believe. And our whirlwind experience, though, has been with a group of people on our committee who enjoy learning about each other's traditions and being exposed, and who respect each other's differences and have been able to find the common ground that we share as human beings.
We have a caller waiting, and I want to get to that line one in just a moment, but let me ask myself the nasty question that you two are much too nice to do. Shoemaker, you're a Presbyterian. You're one of those liberal Protestant Christians. You're so committed to diversity and being open to everybody. I mean, you're more committed to diversity than you are to Christianity, aren't you? How would I answer that? Well, we'll go to the phone call.
Uh-huh.
Line number one, you're on Keeping the Faith with our guests, Minister Zerniel Bogan and Allison Entrekin. Go ahead.
Well, yes, hello. I'm calling from Urbana. My name is Dennis Roberts, and I've been listening to your program with some interest. And I think it's wonderful that there is going to be this program here in the city which interweaves all the meditative practices from the different religions who are participating. I think it's a very positive and instructive experience to see how, even though there are so many different outer rituals or trappings in religious in the experience of religion, that each does try to go to the core of understanding of what life or God is through some technique, which in my, how I understand it is, you're transcending the common or the everyday. You're leaving behind the outer definitions, which are divisive or compartmentalizing definitions, and using some technique which you practice, whether it be a chant or a song or a hymn or a prayer type experience, that it opens you up into the world of spirit, where spiritual guidance or spiritual insight can be discovered, which really, I think, is a completely different area, which takes place in a completely different realm and has so little to do with definitions of individual faith and dogma. And I was sort of wondering if panelists, through their own practice, experience times when they realize that the outer form of religion becomes less meaningful because the interconnection with spirit is a stronger voice for them.
Very good question. Thank you for the call. Who would like to respond?
Yeah, I think that that's a very appropriate question. You know, in life, we do this every day. We see this happen every day. The African-American or the black person who listens to country music, but yet he isn't turned country. We see, you know, those types of situations. We see the particular Jewish person who will listen to rock and roll, yet they're not a rock star. We'll see the particular person who has been groomed from the time they were young on Bach, Beethoven, and to the likes, yet they want to dabble in a little bit of gypsy. We see this every day, and we don't put a label on it as being such as one that we've transcended from the different spirits, but yet we do this every day and we see this every day. And the Interfaith Unit of the Whirlwind Project is basically the same thing in essence, because here we have a chance to get into those particular areas of what we like or what we don't like within our spirit, and we're able to filter that. We're able to filter that in such a way that it is pleasing and is uplifting to our own spirits.
And Allison, do you have a response?
I do. I think that one of the things that our Whirlwind Project has done is clarified for me the difference between those outer traditional practices and that inner voice. Because I will engage in the Jewish practices, and if I sing a church, at Grace Lutheran Church, for instance, where I sing in the choir, I won't engage in some of the practices, but I may still be able to find that inner voice. That there's a difference between the ritual prayers, visiting the mosque, and being able to find that spirit inside myself.
We'll be getting back to our guests in just a moment here on Keeping the Faith. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program that occurs on WILL AM 580 every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time. It is a live call-in program, and we are eager to have people join us. Dial 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana or 1-800-222-9455 elsewhere. Coming up on WILL this week are a couple programs that might be of special interest to listeners to Keeping the Faith. On Focus 580, Jack Brighton will be hosting this week. And on Thursday, the 19th of February at 11 o'clock, he'll be talking with Arun Gandhi, founder and president of the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence, about nonviolence political action. So that's on Focus 580 at 11 o'clock this coming Thursday. On the afternoon magazine, Jay Pierce will be talking on Friday of this week, on February 20th at about 2:40 in the afternoon, with people from Habitat for Humanity of Champaign and Piatt counties. So those might be particularly of interest to people who listen to Keeping the Faith. Do remember that the time to register to vote is rapidly getting very, very short. You may do that in Champaign County at the county clerk's office out on Washington and Larimon. The next two Whirlwind projects here on Keeping the Faith will have guests coming up. The imam from the mosque will be here Sunday, March 14 at 5 o'clock, talking about meditation in the Islamic tradition. And then on April 25th, Rabbi David Teichtel will be our guest, talking about Jewish meditation traditions and Chabad. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Good. These Keeping the Faith programs are supported in part by the University YMCA at the University of Illinois, where I am executive director. Since 1873, that's 1873, the University Y has been helping develop student leaders by providing opportunities for social action and community service. Coming up this week at the Y, Paula Kaufman, the university librarian, will be speaking at noon Tuesday, February 17. 10 million books and counting. Where do we go from here? Talking about the university library, which is, of course, the largest public university library in the world, right here in Champaign-Urbana. On Friday, for Friday Forum at the University Y, Belden Fields will be speaking about democracy and human rights. That's February 20 at noon at Friday Forum. Both Know Your University and Friday Forum are free and open to the public. You may pick up a lunch there at our Y Tie restaurant if you like, or just bring a lunch, or simply come and listen. The Y is a nonprofit charitable organization. We survive because of the kind gifts of friends who support our work with students and others. We're also accepting cars, trucks, even motorcycles. If you have one you're thinking of getting rid of, instead of trading it in or selling it yourself, you can avoid those hassles by donating it, taking a tax write-off if you itemize your taxes. Tax season is coming up, and many people are thinking about this. If you'd like to donate a car, it's very easy. Give me a call. My name is Steve Shoemaker. The Y phone number is 337-1500. Or you can check out our website at universityymca.org. Be sure to watch Religion and Ethics News Weekly on WILL television every Sunday starting at 12:30. Well, let's get back to our guest today. And we have a caller waiting on line one. You're on Keeping the Faith with Minister Zernial Bogan and Allison Entrekin. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is. I tuned in late. You know who I am.
I know who you are.
Yes. I really don't have a question, but I wanted you to quickly review the program. And I love this program, and so I came from the concert and listened. And so, quickly, if you're able to review what you said, and I'll hang up and listen.
So, the concert programs, the two concert programs that will happen as part of the Whirlwind Project, are Sunday, February 29th, at McKinley Presbyterian Church, a sounds of music, meditation, music, and motion.
And that will be at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then the second concert, closing concert, will be Monday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at Salem Baptist Church. And it will include participation for audience and lots of singing and instrumental music. Do we want?
There'll be a total of four different experiential workshops that go from, I guess they're all in March, aren't they? The four Saturdays in March.
Yes.
The first one is March 6th at 2 p.m. at Wesley Foundation. The second one, the next Saturday, will be at the Living Yoga Center at 202 West Hill. The mosque will host the third one, March 14th at 5 p.m. I skipped one. I'm sorry. That's March 20th at 2 p.m. Well, I've got that totally wrong, don't I? Mm-hmm.
No,
that's
we decided.
The third one is at University Y. I should know that one. That's March 20th at 2. And then the mosque, March 27th at 2. And Allison, tell us what happens at each one of those, if you would, again.
Okay. And the question of which is at the mosque, we decided that on March 20th at the YMCA, the imam felt that maybe the children from the mosque would like to have their presentation in a different venue other than the mosque. So that one is Islamic meditative chant and also prayer bead traditions. Various traditions, both rosaries and also the 99 beads that Muslims have in their chains. He has a collection of precious bead chains. So that one is the 20th.
Vera Duncanson will be helping with that too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then at the mosque on the 27th of March, there will be Catholic contemplative prayer with Flori Dammers. And there will be Tai Chi. And the first two workshops, March 6th at 2 o'clock at Wesley Foundation, will be mindfulness-based stress reduction, a medical technique, and then a labyrinth walk with the Baker board. And the second one will be yoga at the Living Yoga Center, and then a Zen sitting meditation.
And a couple other events we've not mentioned previously on this program, but again this year, for the third time, there'll be poetry and prose readings by local authors dealing with the theme of meditation and contemplation. One will be at the Verde Gallery and Cafe on 17 East Taylor Street in Champaign, Sunday, March 28 at 1 p.m., that'll be a poetry and prose reading. And there'll be another one April 3rd at 1 p.m. at the Douglas Branch Library, 504 East Grove in Champaign. There'll also be some art installations that will be able to be viewed Friday and Saturday, April 16 and 17, all day as part of the Boneyard Arts Festival. Another poetry and prose reading April 18 at the Verde Gallery again. And Rabbi David Teichtel will be talking about Jewish meditation traditions. And I can't pronounce that next word, Allison. Help me with that.
Nigunim.
And what is that?
And a nigun is a chant with which some Jewish services begin, usually a wordless chant, to get people in a spirit of prayer.
And that will happen at the Hillel Foundation.
Yes.
On the corner of John and
Fifth
Street. Now, people may not be able to write all this down very quickly, but there will be flyers available.
There will be.
And people can pick them up around the community. People may also contact Jenny Southland, who's on the planning committee, by either calling 217-337-3901 or emailing her at jsouthlyn, S-O-U-T-H-L-Y-N-N, at AOL.com.
Or they may look at our website, which is www.whirlwindproject.org. There's lots of information up there.
Very good. That gives people quite a few opportunities for finding out about the Whirlwind Project. What has surprised you about being part of this process, if I may ask you as a Baptist minister, Zerniel, had you ever been in a room with so many different religious traditions before?
No, I have not. And what surprised me was the openness and the honesty of each of us that are on the board. We at times have between among ourselves a chance to sit and talk and just talk about our own personal feelings, our own personal lives, and our own personal beliefs. And that helps us all to understand how each of us is functioning within this particular organization.
It includes people representing the Episcopal Church, Lutheran Church, Unitarian Church, Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation, the Program for the Study of Religion at the University, YMCA, Prairie Zen Center, Salem Baptist Church, the Baker Board from Wesley Foundation, Provena Covenant Medical Center, Sinai Temple. I may have left out some, but it's quite a diverse group, and for that group to agree mm-hmm. on anything might have seemed to some of us at the beginning to be unlikely. How has it happened that people have been willing to maybe give up what they wanted to cooperate?
And we even try to make our decisions by consensus, which is that much more interesting. But I think the reason that we come together is that there are certain things that we share as members of this community, and there are also certain philosophical perspectives that we share. And I think it's the openness and the respect for each other that we have and the enjoyment of learning about different traditions. One of the things that members of this group seem to stand for is being able to appreciate learning more about other people, other faiths, other backgrounds and colors, and not necessarily choosing to go that route, but that it's valuable to explore.
Tell us about, personally, your emotional responses to some of these musical events where there's been music from, well, I at least had never heard some of the music that was at Salem last year. It was, mm-hmm. Some of it was totally new to me.
What was new to you, Steve?
Well, I had never heard some of the things, for example, from the Eastern Orthodox tradition.
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, it was their first exposure to Eastern Orthodox chant. And John Baboukas will come this year to the McKinley concert and do that again. I think emotionally, the thing that was exciting was the audience singing. Mm. And also having all of these very different styles come together under one roof in 1 hour and a half and seeing the resonances between one and the next. The sound might have been very different. But there's something about music that each person in his or her seat can take away his own spiritual, emotional experience. And it doesn't have to be the same as, I don't have to feel the same thing as Minister Bogan experiences or as you experience. And yet we have the sense that other people are sharing that experience with us.
Martin Luther King once commented, it's been quoted many times, that one of the most racially segregated hours of the week is when people separate into their various religious traditions. For many white people, it may have been one of the few opportunities they'd had to be in an African-American church. Mm-hmm. To hear African-American music in the setting where black folks are most comfortable.
And, you know, Steve, being that this is Black History Month, and looking at the realm of Dr. Martin Luther King and what he stood for, we can take into effect that music within itself is such a binding instrument for gathering others of all walks of life. The dream that Dr. Martin Luther King had, was that we all would come together and be together and strive together, celebrate together. This is what the Whirlwind Project is all about. being able to help fulfill some small part of that within ourselves and the community. When we have interaction among the community with all these different types of music and little skits, because we had a children's skit there too that was just fantastic. You know, this and the commonality of what it was about, the Job experience, and how that Job experience was fundamentally true in all our particular faiths. That was phenomenal by itself, because it showed that we all agreed on the same thing. We all took precedence in the fact that we knew we had Job within us, and we knew that Job was telling us a story about ourselves.
Job being a biblical person who went through tremendous sufferings, and
yes.
That's an experience that crosses all boundaries, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. One of the most moving things for me last year as part of the Whirlwind Project was being at the mosque and hearing people talk about their own personal stories of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And an African-American woman who spoke there and talked about the loss of her husband at a very young age and how she got through that with the help of her faith and her community and her standing there, in her case as a Christian, in a mosque, sharing this very personal story of pain and seeing people in that setting from many different traditions understanding and empathizing.
Yes, and what is so heart-touching is that we look on the news every day, we read in the papers every day about those people who are overseas in the different countries, Palestine, Iraq, Iran, and the sufferings they've gone through, being bombed in Israel, all of these particular traumas that go through, and as some of them are allowed to enter into the United States, and they bring those experiences with them, we have to see what is going on inside of them.
We have another caller. Let's go again to line one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I wanted to ask about the art show you guys mentioned.
Yes.
Is it something that would be open to people to participate in? Would it be possible to submit art for the show still, or has that already been judged, or is it going to be hung soon?
The person who's coordinating is Jenny Southlin. And her phone number is 337-3901. And I believe there are installations which may or may not be hung inside gallery form. I think some of them may be outside. It's part of the Boneyard Arts Festival. And she may still be taking submissions. I'm not exactly sure what stage.
Thank you for that question. And again, that meditation art opportunity. The show itself will be Friday and Saturday, April 16 and 17, all day as part of the Boneyard Arts Festival. But if there are other artists listening who might have something that they would like to offer for consideration for that, do call Jenny Southlin, or her email is jsouthlin, S-O-U-T-H-L-Y-N-N at AOL.com. Thank you for that inquiry. There's been so many different parts to these Exodus and now Whirlwind projects. Now this time there's not drama or a reading. Why is that? Last year there was with the Job project.
We tried to think what kind of a dramatic story we could present. And we decided that this time we would focus on readings of people's original works, original poetry and prose, and music and other things. Maybe in the future there'll be drama.
Well, and also we will have a children's skit at the final concert.
Ah, okay.
So there will be a portion in there that will dramatize some portion of how meditation is dealt with within that realm with kids.
Anything else left out this year that you wish there had been a way to include?
Oh, my goodness.
The possibilities are always infinite,
yes.
Limited only by the time of the participants in the community, I think. There will be a meditation, and this year, at your suggestion, Steve, we are going to include food in that to close the entire project. Saturday, May 1st, meditations from different traditions, and an International Foods Festival, and that will be at Wesley Foundation at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So this will be an interfaith service based on different meditation techniques with food as one of the things that people will be sharing. That's right. Mm-hmm. Count on me to remember food.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of next year, will Whirlwind Project continue?
I would definitely hope so. As a matter of fact, I'm already anticipating our next board meeting to start looking upon some of those things that we want to go ahead and put on a paper to get going. We've had at some discussions brought up subjects that they were so vast that we had to actually set those aside to bring them up for a later date. So, yes, I think we have plenty of opportunity and material to bring forth to the public so that we can continue this.
And the Whirlwind Project has become a legal nonprofit entity.
Yes.
And can accept donations, which are tax deductible.
Yes.
And how may people make contributions to this interfaith project if they are interested?
Well, the information is on the web at www.whirlwindproject.org, or may send something, care of First Presbyterian Church, 602 West Green Street in Urbana, 61801.
That's for folks who might like to make a contribution to the Whirlwind Project, this interfaith effort in Champaign-Urbana.
Or come to an event.
Of course.
Come to an event. And might I add also that if that is not possible, we can always find Steve Shoemaker.
Well, I at least know who the treasurer is. I'm not the treasurer, but we will find a way to get the money to First Presbyterian Church contributions for the Whirlwind Project. Well, let me thank our guest today, Associate Minister Zerniel Bogan from Salem Baptist Church, who is on the steering committee, and our convener, Allison Fromm Entrekin from the School of Music at the University of Illinois, where she is studying choral conducting. They've been our guests today here on Keeping the Faith. Next week on Keeping the Faith, our guest will be Bill Kegel, who is a professor at Millikan University. He'll be talking about that interesting book in the Christian New Testament, the Revelation. On February 29th, the guest on Keeping the Faith will be Danielle Schumacher. She'll be talking about the legalization of marijuana, particularly for medical use. On March 7, John Sutherland will be our guest, talking about Bach's B minor Mass. And then on March 14, again, one of our whirlwind guests will be the imam from the Central Illinois Mosque, Mujahid Al-Fayyad. I'm Steve Shoemaker. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Sinatra swings it, Miles Davis jazzes it up, and Billie Holiday croons it from the heart. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, the biography of a great American love song. In our Valentine's Day show, the Rodgers and Hart hit My Funny Valentine, and our listeners share true stories of love at first sight. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Human Kinetics Publishers Incorporated, Champaign; Devro TPAC, Danville; and Illinois Graphics Incorporated, Bloomington. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly clear with the low around 10 degrees and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with the high in the lower 30s and east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 20 degrees and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour, shifting to the south after midnight. You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.